Our next case for argument this morning is Dutka against Gonzalez. Just hold on a second until we complete the change, Mr. Berg. Mr. Berg.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Excuse me. My name is Roy L. F. Berg, and I represent the petitioner in this matter before you, Vitalia Dutka. Mr. Dutka was born in the former Soviet Union. He is Jewish, both ethnically and religiously. He and a partner opened up a cafe in what is now Ukraine in 1991. It was called the nickname the Jewish Cafe. Many of his customers were Jewish, and they came to his cafe to celebrate the Jewish holidays. He began receiving threats and intimidation from anti-Semites, members of the UNSO, the
Are
National...
Are any of these issues before us, given the fact that the board said the appeal wasn't timely?
The issue before you, Your Honor, is not the underlying asylum. That is correct. I was trying to put it in context.
But why was the board required to reopen following an untimely appeal, an untimely request to the immigration judge? I mean, there doesn't seem to be anything here that was done on time.
Your Honor, the motion that I filed in 2003, shortly after I was retained, was filed with the immigration court. And Judge Giambastiani determined...
Right, and the ground for such a motion would be a change in country conditions. So what is the evidence of a change in country conditions between 2000 and 2003?
I asserted that the change was the fact that he was married to a woman who...
Right, but that's not a country condition. What is the change in country conditions?
I did not raise a change specific different
is there
from
any,
that.
Is there any legal basis for such a motion other than a change in country conditions?
I would assert, Your Honor, that his marriage to his wife was
right.
a basis
what,
for
what the is the legal basis? That is, what statute or regulation do you want us to look at to see that a change other than a change in country conditions supports such a motion?
I would assert that under 8 CFR 1003.2, I believe it's B, Your Honor, and I would believe that the change here is, as I mentioned, that he was married to a woman who had been granted...
8 CFR 1003.2B, you say. All right.
I believe that's the motion to reopen, 3.2... That's the motion to reopen, Your Honor, for an individual who has applied for or is seeking asylum.
And this statute, this regulation, allows such motions on grounds other than change in country conditions.
Additionally, we were seeking reopening under the Torture Convention, Your Honor, which I don't believe had been addressed before.
Well, you seem to be talking about a change in his status, as far as his personal status. Is he still married? And there's some notice what that marriage is over with now, or something.
Your Honor, there have been developments, and thank you for asking that, Judge Mann, that I want to bring
to
the court's attention.
Well, I'm not. I just want to know that I'm not trying. I'm not looking for trouble. I just want. Isn't that you were talking about a change in his circumstance?
Right, and that
and that seems
what
to be all this focuses on. And he was married to somebody who's Ukrainian and American citizen now, and now she's left him.
Well, as very recently they have separated, Your Honor. As I advised the court, they were married in 2000, and they did live together as husband and wife for 5 years. So there has been that recent development. There's also been a recent letter that he's received from the Ukrainian consulate that he is not a citizen of that country. So what I have done now, Your Honor, is I have filed a new motion to reopen with the board, which was sent by FedEx yesterday, to be received this morning. And I have served a copy of that motion on counsel.
Board's regulations don't allow an infinite number of motions. They limit it to one. What in the world would be the basis for this?
Well, Your Honor, I believe
the board's regulations limit the number of such motions.
I've asked the board to reopen sua sponte under 8 CFR 1003.2.
A request to reopen cannot be to reopen sua sponte. In fact, the Supreme Court, in a case 2-3 years ago called Martinez against California, said that that was rankest fraud.
Well, if there is a new fact to be brought to the board's attention, I believe that I had a duty to bring it to the board's attention, which I have done so, Your Honor. And that I have served a copy of that motion on counsel for the government, and I would ask, Your Honors, that this court hold the proceedings in abeyance until the board has ruled on that motion, or alternatively that the case be referred to the settlement office, because I believe that we can reach a settlement on this, because I believe counsel for the government has conceded that the pleading that was taken before Judge Smith was not properly done, and that she took a pleading through a person that she recognized not to be an attorney, who had not filed an appearance, and that the attorney that this person was working for also had not filed an appearance.
Was the new problem now that he's not a citizen of Ukraine, and therefore that's where he's supposed to be deported to?
He's been ordered deported to Ukraine.
And he can't now deport somebody evidence, not a citizen?
He now has new evidence that he is not a citizen of that country. The pleading that he was a citizen of that country was made by a person who was identified as Jackie Montini, Mr. Lockhart, and Ms. Lockhart in the record, but clearly was not an attorney. That was the appearance in September 1998 before Judge Smith.
So he's not a citizen, and I don't know, what does Ukraine, what do they stop him at the airport, say you're not a citizen, you got to leave, or what?
I'm not sure what the Ukrainian government would do, but the consul of Ukraine has given him a letter indicating that he is not a citizen of that country.
It's a man of another country.
So it is our position, at our request, that if the court would not hold these proceedings in abeyance or refer to the settlement office, alternatively, we would ask that you grant the petition for review. We believe that there was a violation of due process here, first at the appearance before Judge Smith in September 1998, when she took a pleading from a person who she acknowledged was not an attorney. She stated she was treating Mr. Dutka at that appearance as pro se. No questions were directed to him, and there doesn't appear from the record that there was an interpreter present. Though at the prior appearance in July 1998, there was an interpreter, and she addressed him through an interpreter. Secondly, we believe that the Judge Giambastiani erred in not granting the motion to reopen, and we also believe that the board erred in not addressing our issues and our arguments that we made in its brief in support of our appeal from Judge Giambastiani's denial of our motion to reopen. So, Your Honors, I would reserve whatever other time I have unless you have any additional questions.
Thank you, Mr. Berg. Mr. Marstow.
May it please the Court, Eric Marsteller for the United States. In this case, Mr. Dutka had the benefit of three separate decisions before the immigration judge and the board. The first decision was in July 1999 when the immigration judge found that Mr. Dutka had failed to meet his burden to establish his eligibility for asylum or withholding of removal. As the court noted, this decision is not before the court at this time because the appeal to the board was untimely. The second decision was a March 29, 2004 decision by the board, which the board affirmed without opinion, the decision of the immigration judge denying Mr. Dutka's motion to reopen because the motion was untimely and he failed to present changed country conditions. And finally, a third decision was in February of 2005 in which the board denied Mr. Dutka's additional motion to reopen seeking adjustment of status. As for the 2003 motion to reopen, the immigration judge did not abuse her discretion in denying the motion because the motion was both untimely and because Mr. Dutka failed to present any evidence of changed country conditions in Ukraine. The evidence presented regarded his grant of asylum to his then-wife, but that, as the court noted, has nothing to do with the country conditions in Ukraine. I'd also like to point out that the regulation in that first decision is 8 CFR 1003.23B41. It's 23 because 23 covers motions to reopen before the immigration judge. The regulation cited earlier is for motions before the board. Additionally,
yes, I spent some time tracking it down. What Mr. Berg cited has no relation whatever to the claim he made.
Additionally, there have been no due process violations over which that merit relief in this case. In his brief, Mr. Dudka challenges the board's decision to affirm without opinion the decision of the immigration judge. As this court found in Georges, that is not a due process violation, and so that matter is foreclosed. As for the claim that Judge Giambastiani was unconstitutionally biased, there's a presumption that decision makers are unbiased, and Mr. Dudka has pointed to no evidence indicating that Judge Giambastiani had any role in the proceeding in 1999 or that she was in any way unconstitutionally biased. As for the claim regarding Ms. Montini making the plea before the court, Mr. Dudka has failed to exhaust his administrative remedies. In any case, there's no prejudice because in the record of proceedings while Mr. Dudka was represented by counsel, the attorney stipulated that Mr. Dudka was a citizen of the Ukraine. Finally, with the second motion to reopen.
Apparently Ukraine doesn't agree with that.
But that may be the case at this point. In the record of proceedings, the issue is whether or not the immigration judges abused their discretion based on the record evidence. And in this case, they didn't. And in any event, this court's role is to determine the validity of the removal order, not to determine the country of removal. As the Supreme Court noted in JAMA versus ICE, there's a procedure for Department of Homeland Security to follow in determining the appropriate country of removal in the event that a country like Ukraine refuses to admit the alien. So there is a procedure that the department can follow to determine an appropriate country for removal. Finally, with the second petition for review, which was a denial of the petitioner's motion to reopen for adjustment of status, that motion, again, was untimely, and there were no exceptions to the time bar applicable to this case. So the board did not abuse its discretion. Unless the court has any further questions, the government submits on the brief.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Marsteller. Anything further, Mr. Berg?
Yes, sir. First, I want to apologize to the court for citing the wrong regulation, and thank Mr. Marquardt for correcting that. The regulation I cited has to do with motions to reopen before the board and not before the court. The immigration court, and that exception, I believe the immigration judge has the authority to reopen any case in which they've rendered a decision, as does the board. And the motion that we filed
so
now.
What regulation are you now relying on?
For the motion we have just filed, Your Honor.
I don't
is
refer
filed
to that. I refer to the motion filed in 2003 asking for reopening based on the marriage, which the immigration judge said was not a valid basis. Now, you ask us to disagree with that, and I want to know what statute or regulation are you now relying on to say that the immigration judge committed a legal error?
The regulation cited by counsel for the government, the regulation having to do with bringing forth new evidence,
that's 1003.23?
I don't have that regulation with me, Your Honor.
I just don't understand, Mr. Berg, how you can be here saying the immigration judge and the board committed a legal error in denying my motion and not be prepared to respond to a request for a citation of the law on which you're relying for that argument.
I apologize, Your Honor, and I'd be happy to file a subsequent brief if you like. I believe we discussed it in our brief. Nonetheless, Your Honor, the motion that we have filed now, I believe the board does have jurisdiction, and they can and do reopen things sua sponte, and that is 8 CFR 3.2 small a in parentheses, and I believe that's correct. That's the citation for the regulation of 8 CFR 1003.2 small a in parentheses. And that's the regulation that says that the board can reopen any case in which it's rendered a decision. And I thank you very much, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.